Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
You know, I heard your commercials for a long time, and I kept thinking, yeah, I'll look into that, and I just never did, and finally I gave you guys a call and started. Well, I did tell the doctor when he asked me what I was doing. I said, have you heard of Balance of Nature? And he says, yeah, he actually had taken it at one time. I said, well, I'm doing that, and I feel great. You know, I think it's helping in everything. And he says, well, good. He says, I should start that up again. I'm just happy, and I'm going to stick with it.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Receive 25% off your first preferred purchase of Balance of Nature. Plus, get a set of convenient travel bottles containing a free additional week's supply of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. With these discounts, you will still receive free shipping on every order. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
White with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Love it. Kate Smith. Remember the PC war on Kate Smith a little while back? That's why we play it proudly. I hate that kind of, hate being bullied into playing something or not playing something in that case. Give me a break. She did a great rendition back in the day. So that was actress Kate Smith. Anyway, singer Kate Smith, welcome back to the show. And I'm glad that you're tuning in. It's Constitution Day. And this show likes to talk about the Constitution a lot because we have such a bad understanding of it in general, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah, to say the least.
To say the least. It probably stems from a lot of our issues, I would guess.
I think it's because people are, number one, they're taught to be afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really pushes or impresses on them the resources that are available to help you understand why the Constitution says what it says.
Yeah, and we were talking in the previous hour about all of the papers that identified that the federal government wasn't supposed to have anything to do with health care, religion, education, criminal court system. I mean, all kinds of things. And they've given themselves all of these powers that they don't have. It'd be like somebody walking into your home and then starting to parent and telling you how to do things. And you're thinking, but you don't even live here. This is how we should actually react to the federal government, but we don't. We sort of take it in stride and think that they should be a part of everything.
As a matter of fact, one of those mm-hmm. powers that they've taken is going on today.
Yeah.
And where they have dragged a private citizen into the House, into mm-hmm. Congress, to interrogate him. Because these committee members mm-hmm. on the Judicial Committee think they have the right to do that.
Yeah.
They don't.
Nope. No, they don't. They really don't. But we don't understand that they don't have those powers. The federal government, you know, hoisted themselves up as this instigator of uniform policies around the country, and then the people haven't stopped it. And so this is why we're at where we are today. This is why you have people on a stage that think the role of president is emperor, because I'm going to get into your health care, what you eat, how you eat healthy. I'm going to get into your education. I'm going to get into all of these things that they have absolutely no place to be. And one of the most misunderstood things also is the right to keep and bear arms. And when it comes up to a debate, and man, don't you just wish that some of these people, hell yes, we're going to take all their weapons. O'Rourke? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. In the last debate, they finally are playing their hand. Yes, they want to not just infringe the Second Amendment, they want to wipe out the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
And so nobody really understands this about a well-regulated militia and the right to bear and keep arms. And they think it only applies to the National Guard. But they come to this conclusion, and this is from the 10th Amendment Center, by the way. They come to this conclusion based on the first clause of the Second Amendment. It says this: a well-regulated militia being necessary of the security of a free state. But even if that clause limited the right to keep and bear arms to militia members, and it doesn't, those who make the National Guard only argument don't understand what the militia actually was at the time. And there was an article written that kind of summed this up. And this actually came from George Mason during the Virginia Ratifying Convention. So listen up. Mr. Chairman, a worthy member has asked, who are the militia? If they be not the people of this country, and if we are not to be protected from the fate of Germans and Prussians by our own representation, I ask, who are the militia? They consist now of the whole people, except for a few public officers. The whole people. But I cannot say who will be the militia of the future day. And if that paper on the table gets no alteration, the militia of the future day may not consist of all classes, high and low, and rich and poor. Practically speaking, the whole people generally meant all able-bodied white men, right? The point of the militia wasn't a select military force. It wasn't like your SEAL team. It was a defense force made up of just the general population. That way you were represented in numbers because there were so many as, you know, in relation to how many people were in government, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, in fact, part of the reason the Second Amendment was even proposed was to ensure that people at large would not be disarmed and replaced by a select militia. It was the whole reason they wanted the militia to be made up of people and not some SEAL team.
Yeah.
So there's an expansion on this argument, but there's one piece of evidence that further sort of undermines the National Guard only narrative. The Militia Act of 1792 were some of the first bills passed by the first Congress. The Militia Act was passed in May 1792, and it defines militia in a way that supports the broader understanding of the term used by Mason in the ratification debates. And it said, be it enacted by the state and the House of Representation of the Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that each and every free, able-bodied white male citizen of the respective states, because you have to go back in time and not view things from a 2019 pair of goggles.
Mm-hmm.
When you're reading this, of the respective, because these were the landowners typically at the time, of the respective states resident therein, who is or shall be at the age of 18 or under the age of 45, shall severely and respectively be severally and respectively be enrolled in the militia by the captain or commanding officer of the company whose within bounds such citizens shall reside, and that within 12 months after the passing of this act. And it shall at the time hereafter be the duty of every such captain or commanding officer of a company to enroll every such citizen as aforesaid, and all those who shall from time to time arise at the age of 18 or be in the age of 18. And so every citizen so enrolled and notified shall within 6 months thereafter provide himself a good musket or firelock, a sufficient bayonet and belt, two spare flints, and a knapsack and a pouch and a box therein to contain not less than 24 cartridges. Boy, Nancy Pelosi and all those people would just be aghast. Kamala Harris.
24 cartridges.
I know.
Holy moly.
And a powder horn, 20 balls suited to the bore of his rifle, and a quarter of a pound of powder, and shall appear so armed. See how he says it? And shall appear so armed, accoutred and provided, that when called to exercise or into service, except that when called out on company days to exercise only, he may appear without a knapsack. So to appear loaded, locked and loaded all the time, and that the commissioned officers shall severally be armed with a sword or hanger. And after 5 years of the passing of this act, all muskets with arming the militia as herein required shall be of bores sufficient for balls of the 18th part of a pound. And every citizen so enrolled and providing himself with arms, ammunition and accoutrements required as the aforesaid. So, you know what's interesting is, back in the day, did people steal from people, Uncle Milty? Do you think people went into homes to steal from people?
Rarely.
Mm-hmm, but it happened.
It happened, but rarely.
Okay. And so do you notice that it doesn't say anything about just having it there for a robbery? Did people hunt back in the day?
Yeah. Oh, every
yes,
day.
Yes, yes. They hunted
day.
All the
That's
time.
That's how they fed themselves.
It's interesting that it didn't say that this was only for hunting. It didn't say that. It said that they wanted a people that shall appear locked, loaded, and ready to go so that to keep the government in its place. had nothing to do with hunting, had nothing to do with somebody coming into your home to take something. And just for self-defense, it had everything to do. And the entire thing was about arming yourself so that you could not be a people that was overrun by its government.
Defend yourself.
Yeah. And yet in this day and age, what is that? The left dialed it down to it's for hunting and it's for self-defense, and you can't even have it for that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But of course, they have no intention of trying to rule us.
Oh, no, not at all. So here's the deal. Pretty much every able-bodied free man was part of the militia, and it required all men between the ages of 18 and 45. And the debate over the militia is a bit overplayed. Preservation of state militias made up of the whole body of the people was certainly part of the impetus that led to the ratification of the Second Amendment. But the right to keep and bear arms wasn't exclusively attached to militia service. It was part of the broader natural right of self-defense. And that the text of the Second Amendment makes it clear that the right to keep and bear arms applied to everybody. So it was about self-defense. It was about defending your family. For anything that came to your door, okay? And it was also about making sure that the government didn't tread on you. That was the whole point. And of course, you're going to use them for hunting. Of course, that was a given. But it was it's ridiculous in this day and age how we try to paint it and put it in a corner. And not some of the people, all of the people. And that's why it was necessary, because the militia virtually included all free men. And so there's a lot here as far as what we don't understand. Why don't we get this, that it was to even appear this way, so that the government would always know this is the reason we have 1% under 1% gun violence in this country, is because we have gun ownership in this country. so simple.
One of the reasons our youth doesn't get this is because they are so far separated now from totalitarianism. You know, they didn't live through any of that.
Yeah.
They don't believe in some of those stories even that people tell.
I know. They're told to think of it as something in the past. That was for that time.
Not
when people
like
had
that anymore.
Muskets, you know, and it's so funny. They don't go to the why. They just go to dialing in on the type of gun, right? You should have a gun that is the equivalent of what your government has, truly.
Absolutely.
There's no reason that you shouldn't, because that would actually tell you why you have it, right?
And their main argument today is, as Beto said, you shouldn't have military-style weapons. You don't need military style weapons. No, you do.
Yeah.
Because that guy's going to be coming at you with an M16.
Right.
Yeah. Or an M4 or whatever.
And so they don't ever go to the why. They only want to dial in and infringe based on their version of the Second Amendment, on what they think the Second Amendment was for. And to dial it in to say that this was only good in the late 1700s, not good today. It was the whole principle and concept behind a people for the very first time running their government, and how they were going to keep it and how they were going to do it. And so this is why I wanted to go over this again, because when we think of militia now, a lot of people think of these radical groups or the only groups that are. That isn't true. It was supposed to be the embodiment of all people to appear as locked and loaded and ready to go. So you knew you couldn't mess with them.
A people who just freed themselves from a tyrant.
Yes, yes. I mean, that's so important, I think. And so on this Constitution Day, to understand the why, this is why you won't see this very often in public education, is going to the Federalist Papers, the Cox Papers, all the papers describing why they felt it was so important. If people got that understanding, then the Constitution, they could never say it only applied to a certain time, because the whole thing's principles. So the principles of liberty and freedom, the whole entire document is freedom. It's principles. And you won't, if you don't know the why, then you won't understand what a principle is, I guess. Then you won't seek to understand why we had it, why they spent so much time on it. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.